Hello, my babies, and welcome to Poker in the Ears. I'm Uncle Daddy, Joe Stapleton. He's my work wife, James Hardigan.
Hello, Joseph. We are not alone.
No, and she is my... Are you comfortable being my work stepdaughter? Joining us this week is guest co-host Caitlin Comesky.
I'm not sure if that was a happy laugh.
No, well, I mean, I always like to start my first day at work with like a little sexual harassment. Like it's like hazing, you know, it's cool.
Hold on a second. Is this, why do you automatically assume stepdaughter and sex? That's a you problem.
No, that's the internet problem. Have you been on the landing page for a pornographic site in the last 2 decades? That is
Caitlin,
the topic du jour.
You know that that's tailored specifically to you and no one else, right? Like no one else.
No, honey, I use incognito mode and I go to the public library. So they ain't going to catch me. They ain't going to catch me.
I do it at the library too. Coming up on today's show... In addition to having our future replacement on as guest co-host, our actual guest this week is one of the owners of the Irish Open, Paul O'Reilly. So this is like an Elon Musk situation, right? Like not a founder, but an owner.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't think Paul ever professes or pretends to be the founder.
Right.
He calls himself the owner. And
very
this
good.
Will be Paul's second appearance in the space of 12 months.
Yeah, actually, we don't really let people do that, but he is a good guest. He's going to be talking to us about this year's Irish Open, what we can expect. And Caitlin, I know that you're engaged now, but it feels like Ireland is a place that you'd have really thrived as a single lass.
Well, I mean, my name is very Irish, top to bottom.
Right.
We've always known that. And I just love that David Lappin taught me that I've been pronouncing it wrong. That's a very David Lappin thing to do. But he did educate me about how to properly pronounce my name.
That's funny because they seem to get rather offended when people put on Irish accents. I would probably stick to Comesky.
Yeah, so in America, most people say Comesky. I get Comesky a lot and stuff, but I think I would do very well in Ireland. I mean, I think my blood alcohol content base level is, you know, amenable and compatible with what they got going on there from what I read. Mm-hmm. The anger, the dark hair, the light skin, you know, I think I blend right in. I think you're onto something there.
So here's the key question, Caitlin. Do you have your travel plans for the next however many months sorted out? Is there any chance that you might drop in on Dublin on the Irish Open this year?
Yes, I am going to the Irish Open. I'm
perfect.
So excited. It's going to be my first international stop of the year. I'm going to be, we have a lot of stuff planned with like the live leagues that we're doing. We've got ambassador teams. It's going to be me and Marley up against Fenton and Sprague. They're going to be like on and off the felt challenges. There'll be things like that I'm really suited for, like, I don't know, putting on a silly costume, doing karaoke. So we could bury the competition and we got Marley on my team. So hopefully she'll bink something and take care of the poker part.
I know we're not even done with the intro to this show yet, but why does it seem like every other ambassador has more fun than we do, James? Like everyone's just like, oh, I'm on a yacht ride, it's a champagne brunch.
Just to be clear, I remember this team competition from last year, and I remember people got wet, people were out in the cold. Tonka was forced to ride an inflatable horse, an image, by the way, which gets spammed in the chat on a daily basis. I am more than happy to sit this kind of stuff out.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
No, I'm always more than happy to get wet. That's not really a fear of mine like it is for James.
All right, moving on with the intro. This week's super fan is Nicoletta Madden, and she has chosen the specialist subject of the movie Halloween.
The original, right?
Yes. So this is definitely going to be a lady this time, right? Like not one of those European tricks like a Sasha or an Alexandra.
I have no idea. I hope for your sake.
We actually know her. We know her. We met her.
Do
you remember the steakhouse in Prague and a big group of ambassadors came by and there was young blonde woman with them? She was that person and she was very quiet during that. I thought maybe because I was scaring her, but it turns out she's a really big fan. And
okay.
So that makes sense. She's a super fan. She's on the show. And I love the movie Halloween. I did not rewatch it, but this is again one of these movies that I've seen 20, 30 times in my life. So
yeah.
I'm excited to talk Halloween later. And finally, Hand of the Century of the Day will be brought to us by Caitlin. And James and I are going to roast her for the way she played it. Why'd you play like that, Caitlin? Why'd you play it like that?
I was lost in the wilderness before y'all found me and rescued
me. That's right. Experts Joe and James. Caitlin, guest co-host, what's going on in your life? Welcome to Poker Stars. Welcome to...
Thank you.
It was a while ago, but you're... Yeah. We welcomed
Jason Kuhn last week, so he may as well be like 3 months late with Caitlin as well. I kind of feel that you have sort of derailed the show because we were going to ask about how New Jersey's going, and you're coming to us from Texas.
Yes. So my parents live in Texas. It's my dad's 85th birthday this week. So I came back to Austin to help celebrate his birthday with him. 85. It's a big year, you know. So Poker Stars was kind enough to let me come and spend my family time. But I will be back streaming on February 15th for the Catching Caitlin free roll.
It's such a sick brag when people actually love their family members and care about them and go be there for them. It's just a foreign concept to me. My parents get once a year. They occur that my Christmas gift is I showed up. How's streaming been
going?
Well,
that is quite the gift. Streaming's been, you know, its own new set of challenges. I mean, just us setting up this podcast today did not go smoothly on my end with, you know, getting the audio and visuals correct. So that part of it has always been a struggle with me. I've never been known for, you know, crisp, high quality production. So having to bite off, you know, it's mostly been front facing camera on an old potato. So we've been doing our best, but I'm in muddling through that part of it and the part about building a community, figuring out how to get my emotes in there, get like subscription tiers ready for the people that are there. I've got a core group of like 20 loyal watchers that are seeing me through. And then we get raids from some of the bigger streamers in the space we're lucky enough to have on Team Poker Stars. Cool. So Marley, Fenton, Spraggy have all been hitting me with those raids. We're growing from scratch. So, you know, I think I'm still under 1,000 followers or whatever on Twitch, but I'm having a really fun time with it, trying to strike that balance between like actually playing up to my potential with providing the viewer with a quality, entertaining show.
Yeah, I haven't been able to tell if you're like doing bits and like playing bad on purpose and like doing silly stuff, or if you're trying to win.
I was going to say that's a thinly veiled insult. It wasn't actually that veiled at all.
No, not at all. Not thin.
No. Well, like, I think a big part of it is, you know, I get overwhelmed with like having to read the chat and play. And I definitely know that I'm, you know what? I don't have a name in poker. I don't have a spot in poker because of my elite level play. It's because I can, you know, do something different in the entertainment space. So I do approach everything I do in poker with that, you know, managed expectation. But I do want to play my best. And I think that as time goes on, I'll figure out the balance of how to do both. I have had a little bit of success. I've like final tabled like 5 or 6 events already.
Yeah,
Won one in smaller event. And then I got second place in a $200 buy-in event.
The player pool in New Jersey must suck.
Oh my God, be nice to me. Remember, I'm your friend and you like me. Oh my God. I told everyone how you only date hot women. I'm a good stepdaughter.
let's talk about that for a second. Speaking of high quality productions, your most recent video, what did you use to make my beard?
Eyebrow pencil. The same pencil that I use to like fill in my already thick eyebrows a little bit. That's what I draw on most of the beards with.
You know what I did? I realized, and I guess I have such a big ego that I didn't, but yes, you'd like didn't really rip on me. You were really, really nice to me in that video. And I was just like, oh, funny video. But I wasn't like, damn, I got really special treatment. So I guess you're right. I should appreciate that a little bit more.
You didn't get special treatment. I think mostly because, and sorry for this not being funny, but I have a ton of respect for you, Joe. You've carved out a spot for yourself as like a comedian and a commentator. Like you stay working, you stay busy, and I got a lot of respect for you. So I don't like, there aren't a lot of low blows I'm going to take just because
I appreciate that.
I've got mad love for you.
You know, what's crazy is I really do appreciate that. And what's wild is that like, I am not in an unhealthy way or a mean way, but like I am genuinely insecure about how funny and good you and some of the other poker creators are and how much attention you get. And I'm like, well, maybe I should be making, maybe I should make a video about the worst guy at the poker table. Maybe I thought of that joke a long time ago. And I do get so when I met Sethy Poker, like ran into him randomly in Denver a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, oh, my God, dude, I'm such a huge fan. I'm like, bro, I have 18,000 Instagram followers. You have 110. Like,
yeah, but
I should be the one bowing down to you here.
So do what you do, because what you do, that. You do well. Don't necessarily feel you have to do what everyone else does.
I'm sure Caitlin can relate to that. You want to do everything everyone else does. You see someone else getting attention for doing a thing, and you're like, well, maybe I should be doing that thing. It's hard for people like us who need the love of the world.
Yeah, I guess I don't have that.
I think what you and James should hang your hat on is the longevity that y'all have had. Y'all have been the voice of poker stars for a very long time. And like keeping a gig in this space is like, there's a little bit of a revolving door in certain roles. And y'all have, you know, you dug your heels in and you're the boys, you know, boys.
The institutionalization is definitely what we should be proud of. What you should be proud of, Caitlin, is that four Global Poker Award nominations. You're going to go for, I'm assuming that anything less than a 100% hit rate come later this month is going to be a failure, right?
Well, my fiance set the line at 1.5, and he's a pretty sharp sports bettor. So, and no, he said he was taking the over.
I would bet the over on 1.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's so crazy for a third year in a row to be up for awards that you're recognized by your peer. I will say, I think the reason why I had 4 this year, so the high number of nominations, is because I partnered with almost every major brand in 2024. I worked with a lot of different teams, and the way that these awards are recognized is like a voting panel. And not to take away anything from what I've done or how I am as a professional or the quality of my work, but like I worked for Run Good, I worked for BetMGM, I worked for WPT, I worked for Poker Stars, I worked for Poker Org. You know, like I did a high volume in 2024.
But also, you're the only person out there who's actually making musical promos for online poker.
I really like those.
It's the only video I've ever seen that's actually made me want to play poker and actually told me the key details, because it's not boring. And you followed up. You followed up the one from just before New Year with is it Catch Caitlin is the event this weekend?
Mm-hmm. February 15th, they're doing a free roll. There's going to be $10,000 in the prize pool. And then they've put a bounty on my head where you get a gold pass to EPT Monte Carlo worth $10,000. And then you also just get $2,000 immediately added to the account. So they're just like putting me out in the front, trying to help me grow my stream and reward one of my community members with a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I'm so stoked. I'll be streaming the whole thing. Caitlin, Texas Poker. Come be a part of the show. I don't know when this airs, probably long after, but
this will be out on Thursday the 13th. So this is kind of 48 hours notice.
Oh, shit. I need to move up my engagement announcement then. I was planning on doing it on the 14th, but I guess I'll get it out tomorrow morning so I can scoop y'all.
We don't ever get scoops. I would take just one day off of a big poker news story, which we're going to get to in a second. There's plenty going on in poker
news. I don't think that's a big poker news story, but I haven't
just told anything in general. Like, we're always like 2 weeks later. So it's...
I love it when we stumble into a news story or into a reveal, because I naively assumed it was already in the public domain.
No, I haven't. But I took engagement photos with my good friend Alicia Beauty and Cadence on Instagram.
Great.
She did a beautiful job.
Well.
So
yeah.
Phenomenal. She works out of Austin, does great live events, but she shot my engagement photos. They're beautiful. And because we had a very, very short dating window before we were engaged. So I didn't want to like fully, you were a dick at that lunch a little bit.
I was. Oh, I'm so sorry. No, I was just like, hey, is this a person that I should have known about? Because it seems like this is kind of new.
You were giving me shit for it. No, you were just giving me shit for it in the best way. You're like, yeah, if I had this short of an engagement, I probably wouldn't tell anybody just in case it fell apart. Some sort of garbage in front of like 8 people that are meeting him for the first time.
So in the space of 5 minutes, we've gone from you're someone I respect to you were a dick.
Yeah, eat shit and die.
Look, when you hear what's going on in my life right now, you're going to understand why I might be a little bit salty.
That's fair.
Before we get to that, just a little bit of house cleaning.
Yeah.
Just want to remind everyone, book club is coming up.
I bought the book, Joe. It arrived from Amazon. So yes, printed copies will now arrive.
I had a copy for you, I think.
So just to be clear, the guy's name is Jeffrey, so I'm assuming that it is Jeff. Spelt slightly differently to how you'd imagine.
Jeff Boats. Okay.
It's Jeff Boats. Yes, I believe
and
so.
Blood
He's a professor.
Game
He's
is
a doctor.
The name of it.
Blood Game is the name of the book.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, because I had a copy for you. I will mail someone who will read the book a copy of it to America. It's so hard. Mailing stuff overseas is such a fucking pain in the ass. So
25% tariffs.
Yeah, I will drop a copy of my copy that was supposed to go to James in the mail to you, so you get a one of a kind copy of Blood Game. Fine, great. What do we got from Discord?
People, big fans of Jason Kuhn, particularly of his analysis from Hand of the Century of the Day. Flashover says, awesome pod with Jason. The way he broke down the Hand of the Century of the Day was great. Being from West Virginia, I can confirm most people don't know who he is, but for the ones of us who do, he is for sure King Shit of Fuck Mountain. Also positive feedback from Depleted ZPM, who loved the way Jason broke down the Hand, and JRob89. I feel like I say this for most guests, but holy fuck, what a thoroughly interesting person Jason is. I felt smarter just listening to that one Hand breakdown.
Cool. I mean, that's us. We brought the Hand. So
you played the Hand, so I think you should take all the credit.
I played the Hand. Exactly. Okay, great.
And thank you to Chert, who just weighed in and clarified that the Indiana Jones game you were hyping up, Joe, will make its way to PlayStation 5 in the spring. It's very rare you come across a game that goes to Xbox first, but you seem to have found the one.
Yeah, it is, but it's awesome. You're going to love it. So that's all.
Yeah.
And maybe by that time, I'll actually have a chance to play it again.
Just a reminder, Podcast Discussion is the channel on the PokerStars Discord server. You can apply to be a superfan there as well. And the email address for superfan applications is superfan@pokerstarsint.com.
Great. All right. I wanted to give everybody a little update what's going on with me. So first of all, we've got the protein no gambling bet. Caitlin, you saw me in Tulsa. Part of the reason I was a little salty that day, too, is because I had a really bad night of gambling the night before. And so I made a bet with Tana that essentially Tana brokered a bet between me and Rania, and that we have a 6 months, no slots, no pit as part of it. And there's like a protein component, so it's like a healthy, and an exercise component. So it's like a, hey, let's get healthy between now and August 1st bet. I fucked up in Tahoe. I had a gig in Tahoe over the weekend, a stand-up gig at Harvey's Casino. And I was like, you know what? I deserve to play a little bit. And I did. And I said, hey guys, I played, like, what's the, you know, penalty? Rania, give me your Venmo. And Rania's like, the first one's free. Now, in my mind, I'm like, no, a bet is a bet, right? Like, a bet's a bet. No freebies. Like, here you go. But also,
take the hall pass, dude. Why are you volunteering to pay money?
Okay. Caitlin, what's your opinion on this?
I think you got to feel it. I was about to ask what the punishment was. So, like, yeah, you got to take your licks. You want to do this bet, you got to pay the piper.
So I'm thinking what I'll do is this. I will take the hall pass, but if I go again, I'm going to send her the $500.
But the penalty is $250.
$250 a day, right. So I'm saying if I fuck up again.
Oh, I see. So it's
$250 per day that I do. So if I gamble again, I would owe her $250, but with the freebie, I'm going to send her for both.
Yeah, yeah. But by the way, we haven't addressed where you are right now. It's terrible. Okay. Wi-Fi, by the way.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm probably like moving out of my house pretty soon. And so I just had a friend that suggested, like, hey, you should get like a hot tub room and watch a Super Bowl and we'll get like a bunch of girls over. And I was like, great, I'm in, I'll be there. And when I got here, that friend was like, oh, sorry, I have other plans. And so I watched the Super Bowl alone in my room. And what I did for the first time ever, Now, I did get permission from the gambling bet for this. Oh, by the way, that room, the only one that I could afford is the fucking Luxor. So I have one of these. I have a really cheap bathtub room here at the Luxor, and I watched it alone. I didn't even get in the bathtub. I mean, it's a much funnier, sadder image if I'm just sitting alone in the bathtub, but.
Yeah, and a hotel modeled after a tomb, no less.
Yeah. I love the idea of you actually just sat in the bathtub fully clothed with no water in the bathtub, just watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah, just filled with my own tears probably would be the easiest way to do that. And so I bet on the game for the first time ever. And I talked to Tanya and Rania. They were like, no, we're mostly trying to stay out of pits and stuff. If you've never made a Super Bowl bet before, it's fine. So what I did was, now on the other show, the little sports betting sideshow we're doing, we bet the Eagles every which way. Nice. And the sports book here had a deal. If it was your first ever sports bet and you lost, they would give you the bet. It's a free bet. And so I was like, I'm just going to bet the Chiefs on this. And that way, if I lose, like, it doesn't matter because I won all those. I hedged. I did a sports betting hedge. And then.
Look at this sharp.
Yeah, sharp. Except for today when I went to go look for my free bets, they were like, oh, you didn't do this the right way.
Huh.
You actually don't get your bonus bets. And so things are going great for me, is what I'm trying to say. Things are going great.
So you're paying out for bets that you've lost. And
I'm getting bailed on by friends. I am away from home for no good reason, really. I'm losing bets about betting, and I'm not reading the fine print as usual.
At least we now know why you're in a weirdly shaped hotel room, though, because you're in the one which, to quote Caitlin, is shaped like a tomb.
Dude, it is a tomb. Like, the elevator to get to my room, it's like one of those ones that goes up like sideways at a 39-degree angle. And the thing is that this place is like 30 years old now, and their elevators are rickety as fuck. And by the way, when I did use the bathtub, it leaked into the room below me, and I had to move rooms.
Wow.
Which was also a huge pain in the ass because my room was full of a whole bunch of alcohol that no one drank. Caitlin is sadly speechless.
Yeah, that's quite the picture you painted. That was graphic. That was like David Lynchian in its destitution.
I guess it's not the saddest thing in poker news this week, though, is
it? No. If we go through the headlines, I guess the biggest story of the week and the saddest story of the week is that Miami John has passed away. I mean, I saw at the end of last week them saying that he'd gone into a hospice and sadly only lasted a few days. And I believe that Miami John holds the record for most number of caches on Hend'em Mob. Yeah, 597 live tournament caches. So holds
That's
the record
for now. That's
not
the best part of that fact, by the way. The most interesting part about that is that his first recorded cash of those 590, what was it, two?
597.
597. 43 years old was when he got the first one.
Wow.
So it did inspire me in a way to be like, oh, just because I only have like four or five of them in my life doesn't mean that you can't go on and have a whole bunch more. So, you know, things like that in general, I find to be pretty inspiring. And also kind of inspiring that, like, can't find a single bad thing that anyone can say about this guy. And man, do people love saying bad things about people on the internet.
Absolutely. I'll be honest with you. He's a player I know of rather than know. Never came across him personally. I don't know whether Joe, in any professional capacity, if you ever interviewed him or met him, or Caitlin, if you've ever played against him.
No, I'm not as big on the mixed game scene, so I didn't have the pleasure with Miami, but he is, of course, a legend.
I didn't really know him either. I've been around so long that it's possible I interviewed him one time way back in the day, but like I wouldn't say I knew him to any degree. Now, what I will say is that, you know, like I said, no one's got anything bad to say about this guy. What's crazy to me, and I'm not saying this about Miami John, but whenever a guy from this era dies, there's always like a couple dozen people that are like, ah, fuck, I'm not getting paid now. Like, they just, every single one, like, all of these dudes from that era, you're always just like, oh, he was a great guy, but man, did he owe a lot of people money. I haven't seen that about Miami John, but, like, there's probably maybe someone out there is like, shit, I should have collected.
There's been a fair few announcements from PokerStars in the last 24 hours. And I guess we should get to the big headline grabber, which, to be honest with you, we're going to go into more detail about next week. We'll talk at the end of the show about who we've got lined up for next week's podcast. But the league, the PokerStars Live League, is finally out there in the public domain. And I know a lot of work has gone into this. It's been mapped out for the last few weeks. Information is now out there. There's a full piece on the PokerStars blog. It's on Poker News. But effectively, in the same way that you have the kind of player of the series leaderboards that run during a big online series like Scoop or WCoop, we're replicating that with all PokerStars events in Europe. So the EPT stops, nice. The PokerStars Open, and the Irish Open throughout 2025. And what I like about this is that just like those online player of the series leaderboards, it's tiered. So you've got like the high leaderboard for the people who are playing like 5Ks and above. You've got the medium leaderboard for people playing tournaments between 1K and 5K. And then you've got the low for people playing tournaments lower than a 1,000 euro buy-in. And prizes for each of those respective tiers. And the best part, in addition to all of those prizes, is that the top 10 finishers in each individual tier, the low, medium, and the high, so I guess 30 people, are then going to go into an audition process, a casting process, and one of them is going to be picked as a team pro, as a PokerStars ambassador, who will get money to play the circuit the following year.
Now, let me ask you this. Are former team pros who have since been let go eligible to win their job back?
I mean, yes. I mean, the reality
Dale
is...
Dale Phillips, I'm talking to you.
If you
Ruben
finish...
Visser, I'm talking to you.
If you finish in a top 10 spot in one of those three leaderboards, you are eligible. Now, I don't know what...
And it's worth 100K euros, right?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
They put a real figure on that.
They have put a real figure on what it's going to be worth to travel Europe playing all of these tournaments in 2026. But... here's my question. What isn't clear and what I don't know is what that casting process will involve. All I'm going to say, Joe, is considering the number of people we rejected as loose cannons in 2024 and 2023, can we please not be involved in this?
I don't want to be involved. I think what they should do is they should have to have lunch with Caitlin. And if she doesn't say they're a dick, they get to move through to the next round.
I'm kind of a diva. It's a low bar, y'all. Good luck.
Yeah, I have a feeling that, look, maybe they'll listen to this podcast and not bug us about it, but I just know that whatever happens, I'll be irritated. Like, if they don't ask my opinion, I'll be like, well, it would have been nice if they asked my opinion. And then if they do, I'll be like, I can't believe I have to do this. I can't believe I have to watch all these videos. So, whatever. Whatever happens. I'll be happy for whoever it is, though. It's still pretty cool.
It's really cool. You know, and look, I'll tease one thing now. We are going to speak to one of the architects of this league next week and also understand the idea powering it, but also talk about the new PokerStars Opens, right? Because they are starting very soon. We've got Campione coming up in just under a month's time. So that will be featured next week. We'll drum into the details of the league on the next episode. But one of the themes of today's show is the Irish Open. And very quickly, the Irish Open Online has just been announced. So this is an online series that kind of complements the live festival, which will be happening just before Easter. So this starts next week, runs February 17th through 24th. This is what happens in the rest of the world, Caitlin. I know you're in the kind of New Jersey part of the world, but in the kind of rest of the world, in what we call .com, this is what people have got to look forward to in mid-February. $800,000 guaranteed across the series. Buy-ins range from $11 to $320. The highlight is the $215 main event on Sunday, 23rd of Feb. And as you'd expect, added value prizes with the top finishers, with the top two getting free entry to the Irish Open main event. Whoa. Because the idea is that the online series, the Irish Open Online, will drive participation in the Irish Open itself, which is the perfect segue into talking about this year's Irish Open and our chance to talk to one of the people who has to make this event happen in Dublin in just a couple of months' time. A good opportunity to welcome Paul O'Reilly back to the show. Hello, Paul.
Gentlemen, nice to see you again.
Great to see you too.
Congratulations on your Global Poker Award nominations.
Yeah, second year in a row. Not like you guys. Now, you are a dab hand at these nominations, I see, with books and podcasts and all. But yeah, it's...
Do you want to talk about multiple nominations? Talk to Caitlin. She's got multiple awards.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he's gonna
Paul,
win.
This is Caitlin. I forgot we have a new co-host that we should be introducing to people. Caitlin, Paul, Paul, Caitlin.
Caitlin, nice to meet you.
You too. You're killing her, I see.
I'm trying. We got to kick her in the face and keep her down.
Yeah, that's the way we roll over here in Ireland.
Keep your foot on their throat, I say.
All Irish people seem so lovely, but they have no problem talking about violence in a very hilarious way. They're like, oh yeah, we fight in the street. Like
violence with a smile, Joe.
There's a fine line between genius and insanity, as we all know, so it's just trying to find that balance. But yeah, no, look, it's good with the two teams. Believe it or not, we're actually going over to Vegas, JP and I.
Nice. We'll see you there.
Do you guys want to deal at the Luxor? Because I know a lot of the people here now. I've been living here for the last month.
It's just that pyramid scheme type thing. You'd be. I don't even want to mention what I've heard, dude. So I've just got to.
I love the fact you've literally been there for a few days, but I can imagine it feels like you have genuinely been there for a month.
It's been a long time. I'm moving to Red Rock today. Paul, when you say you're coming to Vegas, you mean for the awards?
Look, we're not coming for the awards to pick up the awards, because if we go not expecting anything, then we can't be disappointed. But we said we might as well go over. And if we do, we do. And if we don't, look, it's a town full of bars. And JP and I can make our way through a lot of those bars, we reckon, in 4 or 5 days. So.
Oh, no, we're not going to make it to the after party, babe. We make up the money we spend traveling there at the open bar in the Poker Go studio.
That's right. That's how you get the money back.
I am
back.
A veteran of this. We make our money back in Macallan 12s, one shot at a time. Let's go, Paul.
Just a sec there. Is there an open bar?
Oh, yeah.
At the awards?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, just remember to bring tip. You need tip money.
Oh, and by the way, Paul, there's always one person at the awards who gets way too drunk. And it could be you this year if you want to do that.
I'm not bad. But wait till you get a load of my partner. This fella will give you a run for your money.
Is that why you keep JP around, right? Because he'll always be the more drunk
soberer
of the two of you.
I will always look good, James, with JP around. Because he just keeps going. In fairness, he's like, once you get, yeah, look, he's a machine. So once he gets the bit between his teeth, he's away. So it's actually quite scary, the thoughts of, like, I've never, like, and I've traveled and I've been a lot of around Europe and a lot of places, but I've never been to Vegas with him for 5 days.
What?
Never been to Vegas with JP?
No, not with him.
Oh, with JP.
I've been there a bundle of times, and I won't lie to you. I've only ever been there once without my wife, because she loves it, and two, she doesn't trust me, and three, she's a very good crutch for me to lean on over there. So she keeps me kind of
right.
I will say the times that I've gone with a girlfriend too, and she gives me the like, hey, like, why don't we go to bed now? I'm like, yeah, okay, that's probably a good idea. Whereas without that presence, you don't have to go to bed in Vegas. They don't want you to go to bed.
It's this time thing, isn't it? You made me night in this open bar. I love an open bar.
Well, this is the thing I've just realized. When Eric Danny was with us a couple of weeks ago, he talked about the fact that they have to keep the awards short because Poker Go doesn't want a long broadcast. Mm. He's using Poker Go as an excuse,
smart.
Caitlin. It's basically because you are basically drinking their entire annual budget in one night that they have to curtail the ceremony.
Now I understand why it said doors open at 4:35. But for Caitlin and Joe, 5:15. Like they know that I will be there at 4:36 and a half PM, first in line when there's no line at the open bar.
Oh, I am strategizing now how to deal with Friday's fine. We can deal with Friday and Saturday. How to deal with Saturday, because I'm gonna be out Friday, then I'm gonna wake up Saturday. Then what's the first thing you do after being out on a bender on Friday to whatever hour of the morning?
Bloody Mary and a cheeseburger.
You have a beer, and then you might have another beer, and then you have to kind of, and you don't want to, you can't walk away from two beers, and then you have four beers, and then all of a sudden you're going, now do I have like a lunchtime snooze or something because I have to go to this thing at 5 o'clock, and then that doesn't happen, and then it does, it spirals. So I have to think about that one.
This is too much brain power. The key thing is, Paul, you're right. Win or lose, just the nominations themselves, great publicity for the Irish Open, especially in the US, and persuading people to make that trip from North America to Dublin.
Yeah, look, we're humble as well because we're in esteemed company there. Like when you're in with the three big players, like as a WSOP, the WPT, and then Barcelona with the EPT, and then you've just got little old us over in Dublin, Ireland, where our 8-day festival and our 1,150 buy-in. So we're doing something right.
It ain't little.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a David and Goliath type scenario. So that it is nice to be in that company, and it's nice to be kind of whittled down into them four. And I heard Eric, in fairness, on your last thing. So we have a 1 in 4 chance in both times. So
yeah, those are the odds.
I did want to ask that a buddy of mine, and Caitlin, you could probably weigh in on this too. A buddy of mine in New Jersey is sending me screenshots that apparently you can win Irish Open packages from the USA. I don't know. Maybe this existed last year. It feels new to me. That makes me feel super happy. For the first time in a long time, we're making a big push to send Americans back to Europe to play poker. So Caitlin, is that true?
Yeah, I believe there will be Emerald passes awarded to some WCOOP players. I believe they are called Emerald passes. Yes.
There's a red spade thing going on. It's great when you're dealing with Dave because then he's kind of telling you something and anything, and you go, "All right, this is happening, and I'm going to tell you about it now." And he goes, "Dave, that's 2 days' time." He goes, "Yeah, but kind of things take a while to get things." So it's just red spade going thing, and now these Emerald passes are starting as well, where there is the 2.5. They're like a silver pass, but then there's a little bit added to it from our end as well. So, that whole North American thing, Joe, is great in fairness, but yeah, for the most part, that's Dave Curtis that worked there.
Sure, well, of course.
Chris, our producer, actually gave me some numbers before we started this interview, which is qualification so far, because of course, I should have realized people have been able to qualify for some time. It doesn't just start 2 months out from the event. Mm-hmm. Qualification started a while ago. Already, nearly 300 people, 298 people have qualified for the Irish Open main event on PokerStars, plus 24 silver passes have been redeemed. So that's 322 people already. And the projection at the moment is that PokerStars alone should be able to send 700 players to the Irish Open this year. Then you add Paddy Power into the mix and the other iPoker skins, they should qualify another 450. So simple math tells you that we could be looking at 1,150 qualifiers into your 1,150 Euro main event, Paul.
Yeah, they're flying. And in fairness, Stars started a bit earlier this year. Paddy's always go well. Then they'll ramp up because when they get into March now, there's 4 or 5, 25 C guarantee things. They're doing 8 packages on a Sunday, Stars. They're probably doing 50 and 16. They're doing 20 a week. They're near enough to 40. Like the same with Paddy's. Paddy's and iPoker are putting on like 5 packages on the weekend. They did 19 last week. It's kind of always been a thing. You just kind of put them in the lobby and then just people see them in the lobby and then just people just go for it.
Yeah.
But in fairness, there's a great way a lot of people getting in fairness. You can get in through that feeder system and stepping up from 11 to 22 or 22 into 109 and 109 into these 1150 tickets. And you can win multiple tickets as well. And there's obviously T's and C's come with that stuff. But where you would imagine they would be slowing down, they're actually ramping up, which is the funny thing. So 1,000 people there or thereabouts, Jen, before we even open the door.
That's amazing.
We'll do another 400 plus at the event then in live satellites.
Oh, yeah.
So they eat them up. And they're loving these milestone satellites as well. So they're absolutely just gobbling them up there as well.
How many entries do you need to set a new record for the Irish Open main?
3, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
One more than 3, 2, 3, 3.
How many of those entries are you going to be, Caitlin? Just the one?
It depends how many Guinnesses they give me gratis.
Oh, man. Dude, I got to tell you, Caitlin, this event has the ratio of servers and bartenders to players is insane at this event. Like, you will never wait longer than like 45 seconds for a drink. And do you have any idea how long it takes to pour a Guinness? These people are on it. Like, this is the most, order a drink, it's back at your table in like a minute and a half. Like, it is so fun in that respect.
Oh, I'm just like, I'm definitely going to be doing a lot of fun, like sideshow birthday clown stuff for a lot of the Irish Open, sort of a master of ceremonies of fun in a lot of ways. But I will definitely try to get in some Guinness poker as often as possible. So hopefully we can count on me for at least two main bullets.
Okay, good.
Like if you were a student of psychology, realistically, if you walked into that room, because consider we put another 30 tables into an hour, we have 180 tables, so we have 220 odd poker tables in that room. And if you were to walk into that room at 6 o'clock in the evening of a Thursday or a Friday and walk through there, what you're witnessing, you probably shouldn't. You'd look at it and go, this shouldn't work. You shouldn't have 1,000 people playing poker, drinking pints. But it does. I don't know why, it just does. So it's a
formula that you think everyone would want to replicate and would try and take around the world, but it just seems like it's something.
It's Irish people.
It's unique to this location.
The culture. Yeah, it's the culture there.
It doesn't travel, James. And I know a lot of people have tried to do it, and it's not just the Irish people either. It's when you bring people from Canada, America, South America, as far as Australia and all around Europe and all across the UK and all these, and you put them all. And the Irish like to talk, you know. We don't mind. We like meeting people. We like to have a chat. We're interested in where you're from. And then I think just people kind of just fall into the groove of it very quickly and they just become relaxed very quickly. They just seem to just relax down and there's rarely an argument at the Irish Open. For the most part, if there's an argument, somebody will usually turn down and goes, look, it's only a game. We'll go and have a pint. And a pint will sort that out. And then we'll be back in an hour. And then they just go off and eat their chips and go back.
Yeah. So what I wanted to ask you about, Paul, one last question, unless someone has something else before we get to the dumb game I have planned for you. Last year when we had you on the show, you told us about the previous year where there was the one fella that you had to take care of and get him home, and it was a pretty great dramatic story. What was the one big story that came out of last year's Irish Open that we maybe haven't had a chance to talk to you about yet?
Do you know what, Joe? Everything went shockingly smooth now, and I'm going to touch wood here. The biggest story that came out of the Irish Open last year, in my opinion, that's not to do with me, you, it's to do with the players, and it's to do with people like Phil, and to do with Dave Curtis and his team, because they embraced it, was the crack den.
I'm not going to lie, I was skeptical about the crack den. I was not sold on the crack den immediately.
Yeah, it's and like, wait till you see it this year. It's even crackier. Yeah, it's great, because I'm talking to so many Americans, for example, and Canadians, and they're going to, every time I meet them, goes, Paul, I'm not even playing today. I'm just going to the crack den. I rang my wife. I told her I'm going to a crack den. Or they're like, so that section of the world loved the crack den. But it went very smooth last year, Joe. I won't lie to you. Consider how busy we were. Like we ran out of tables, we ran out of dealers, and all those other things that kind of went. Like what you guys are about, the stream was excellent. Everything was just perfect. Everything I thought was just really, really good. Now, we've got a load of events that are two-day events this year. We're changing them from one to two. We've maybe five or six of them that are just too big now to be one-day events. We're going to make a load of them two-day events. And, you know, we've added on days, etc., and brought in mixed games and all of these things. And it's just that time. But when there's nothing like the Canadian guy who had to sleep with JP and their kind of funny stories that worked out well, it's nice to come out of it. And there was no negative element to it. Everybody just seemed to have left. And we're reliant on the players going away, as you know. I'm reliant on people going away. and bringing three people back with them the next year.
Yeah,
that's
right.
How the Irish Open succeeds. It's all about word of mouth. It's all about bringing your people from different parts of the world. So, yeah, I got away with it last year, Joe, and I'd love to have some sort of quirky, out there story. But, and by the time you were going to ask me that, I could have made something up. But
no, I mean, it's good that it all went without a hitch. But one of the things that I highlighted on last week's podcast is I know that you and JP are always looking at ways to improve and make things better. Is there anything you're doing differently this year? Is there anything you have changed which you feel is a learning from 2024?
Definitely moving 5 or 6 of these events to 2-day events is a big thing.
Right.
Because these events going on to 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning is a big thing. Definitely the fact of just trying to find more space in that. And you've seen it. It's a huge venue. Like, it's a massive venue. And we've managed to find space for 30 more tables. And we've managed to hire 60 more dealers. And that's just to give people more give people more space to maneuver in and be more comfortable. Then there's some new things, like there's some new things changing with stars and kind of registration systems and how we're working together and improving the whole process of people having information on the phones and people being processing through the system. So they're kind of tweaking little things to tweak. But regards, and then I'm talking with like Chris and Nikki, and they've shown me their plans potentially for the stream, and the stream looks even better than it was in last year, which I thought the whole set looked excellent last year. So yeah, it's kind of a bundle of small things we're working on, James. And if we keep fixing up all of these small things, it all just adds up into being a better event.
Of course. Very quickly, before we get to the game that Joe has for you to play, Paul, the stream will be the closing weekend of the Irish Open. So the Easter weekend from Good Friday to Easter Monday. We're going to do 3 days of main event coverage this year, starting on day 2 on the Saturday through to the final table on Monday.
Yeah.
The first day, we're doing the final table of the Ladies' Championship. And Caitlin, I expect you to either be at that final table or I expect you to be in the booth with us. Either way, you're going to be part of that stream.
Well, you know, I like my chances, because the last time I played with this player pool of ladies, I did commentary on the high roller event at the Hippodrome. So I'm quite familiar with some of the top players in the field, and I think I could be able to navigate that quite competently. But now that I've said that, I'll probably, you know, not even back. But, you know, we're going to give it our best shot.
Well, that's perfect, because then you can provide a lot of color for us if you know a lot of those people, if you, you know. No one's rooting against you, but if you can come in and make my job easier, that's okay with me.
I mean, this is pretty much my career at this point, making Joe Stapleton look better.
Yeah. All right. Loving this. All right, Paul, time for, now this is a phrase you've probably heard before. We talked about your name, I believe, last time we chatted a little bit about how confusing it must be with the Rileys and the O'Rileys. I just come up with a game called O'Reilly, O'Reilly. And I'm going to read you a fact about someone named O'Reilly. 4 of these facts are real. 4 of them are made up, just people I invented. And when I read the fact, you have to answer O'Reilly if it's real or O'Reilly if it's false. Okay?
Let's go, baby.
Here we go. Actor John C. Reilly changed his name from O'Reilly when Hollywood super agent Mike Ovitz told him names shouldn't have punctuation.
O'Reilly.
That one is an O'Reilly. That one is made up. I mean, maybe that happened and I just guessed it out of thin air, but I did write that one.
You put the answer in the question because he still has punctuation as John C. Period Riley.
Fuck.
Paul, you had a real shot at that one. I think you punted.
Question 2. The lead singer of the... Now, here's my ultimate fantasy for this game, is that Paul goes, oh, yeah, that's my cousin. I know this one. All right, here we go. Question 2. The lead singer of the Irish band The Coronas is named Danny O'Reilly. O'Reilly or O'Reilly?
That's an O'Reilly.
That is an O... No, that's... Sorry, O'Reilly, just to be clear, is the fake one.
O'Reilly.
Okay. Nope. Danny O'Reilly is the lead singer of the Irish band The Coronas.
You've lost two flips so far.
I want that fact checked.
We are 0 for 2 here. Question number 3. Jenny Quinn O'Reilly changed her name to Evgenia Ivanova Vyamskaya during a baptism in order to marry Prince Andrei Vyaskemsky.
That's nonsense. That's an O'Reilly.
Of Russia. That one is an O'Reilly. Jenny did marry Prince
Andrei. I'm 0
for
3.
0 for 3.
You are
0
for 3,
Paul. Gosh darn.
I'm not buying that second one, by the way, Joe. I'm still...
Now, I did say there are 4 true and 4 false, so if someone wanted to keep track, that might actually help you in the end.
You keep trying to hack your game for everyone.
Question number...
Just finish the page up.
Question number 4. Yeah, these games are painful. Don't worry. It's not just you. Alejandro O'Reilly was the Spanish governor of Louisiana and given the nickname Bloody O'Reilly.
Alejandro, that's something of an Amazon. Everyone had taught... Do you know what? I'm going to go O'Reilly because I've got the other three. I'm going to go against the answer that I was going to. So I'm going to go O'Reilly.
That is, in fact, an O'Reilly. You are on the board, Paul.
I got there in the end.
Here we go. Question number 5. Finbar O'Reilly is a Canadian photographer credited with the invention of the camera strap.
O'Reilly.
2 in a row. You've gotten 2 in a row, Paul.
Woo!
I completely invented Finbar O'Reilly and the inventor of the camera strap.
I don't know one human being I've ever met called Finbar.
I was just trying to make up an Irish first name. Okay, here we go. Question number 6. Dara O'Reilly is the inventor of the cream cracker.
Yeah, O'Reilly. I know that.
That one is an O'Reilly. I know the cream cracker was, again, maybe Dara O'Reilly was the inventor of the cream cracker, and I just somehow got that right, but I did make that one up. Two questions left. Mary Margaret O'Reilly is the name of the ghost said to haunt the arrivals hall at Ellis Island. O'Reilly or O'Reilly?
We're everywhere, the Irish. I go with O'Reilly. We're even ghosts. I go with O'Reilly.
That one is completely made up by me once again. That's an O'Reilly.
That was your most impressive lie so far.
Why I am so bad at poker. I can't even see through.
No flips. No flips for you. And finally, last question here. Emma O'Reilly is a famous Irish physiotherapist and cycling songeur who worked for Lance Armstrong.
That's an O'Reilly.
That is an O'Reilly. Okay. And is she your cousin? Please say she is.
She is the whistleblower who took the whole thing down.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Cool. Yeah.
So final score 3 and 5, but it doesn't matter, Paul, because it was all a bit of fun. There was no prize to be won, unfortunately.
Okay. I'm still going to drink this.
Hey!
I can believe it. And here, my final question, Paul, before we let you go, is when does the drinking start? When do the doors open at the RDS for this year's Irish Open?
This year, we are 4 days earlier. So we are now 79, the Thursday, the 10th at 12 p.m. in the morning, our first game in the 1 million mystery bounty.
It's going in my calendar.
So, and we have an extra starting day in the Irish Open on the first weekend on the Sunday.
Well, I mean, Caitlin, you already said at the top of the show, it's going to be your first kind of international trip of the year. It will be the first event that Joe and I will be going to this year. Very much looking forward to it. Paul, we will see you in Dublin in April. Thank you for today.
I look forward to it. Caitlin, I'll see you in Vegas.
See you soon, hun.
See you at the back. Thanks, folks.
Joe, I'm going to need you to do your big, bold intro.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Hand of the Century of the Day.
And we've decided to flip reverse it. Instead of having someone analyze our terrible play, we are going to try to understand, Caitlin, how you played a particular hand on PokerStars NJ. Because I'm guessing the novelty hasn't worn off yet, right? The fact that you are able to play on PokerStars?
Oh, just phenomenal to get to play in a on a regulated site where I know I'm not, you know, playing against a bunch of robots.
Nice. So have you found yourself in any tricky spots recently? Is there something you might want us to review or put through the lab?
Well, no, we need to be hand of the century of the day.
Well, I had one option because I don't have my computer here, so I didn't have any ability to go back and look up details. But PokerOrg did clip one hand of me playing, whereas mostly they're just clipping that I'm just like cursing like a sailor. But there's actually a poker hand somewhere in there, so we can discuss that one.
Let's do it.
Okay, give us the background. Give us the details of what it's from and where we're at in said event.
All right, this is in New Jersey. Michigan player pool. Pennsylvania mm-hmm. is its own pool here in America. Yep. So just those players. I have a very high VPIP. So sometimes I get, you know, pushed around a little bit. People don't believe me and they have reason to believe so.
So this is a cash game we're talking about.
No, this is a tournament. This is a tournament. Okay. And I am sitting about 30 big blinds deep before the money. We're probably like, I don't know, between that period where like reg has closed, but we're not in the money yet. I have 30 bigs, which is probably just below average at the time. This is, I think, a $50 tournament.
By the way, with the caveat that I'm a pretty bad poker player, can I say that I find mm-hmm. this stack size probably the hardest to play? It's that classic, like, you know, 45, 50 big blinds, you've got options. 20 or fewer, you're limited. I kind of feel you're in no man's land a little bit sometimes with 30 big blinds. Like, I should be playing tighter, but I kind of like still have some wiggle room.
Yeah, for sure. You definitely, you know, once you get to a certain point in tournament poker, you just can't be afraid to die. And 30 big blinds is definitely in that range. So I have 30 blinds, early position, maybe under the gun one has opened, right. A minimum open. And I have ace king offsuit next to act. So okay. I'm probably low jack, I'm guessing, or UTG two. And I raise to 5.5 big blinds because, again, we're at that shorter stack size. So we want to go with that smaller size. I make it 5.5 bigs. Player calls to play the hand out of position. So this is definitely going to make their range tighter with suited Broadway combos and pairs probably. So we get to a flop with about, gosh, so there's going to be around 14 bigs in the middle.
Yeah, roughly.
Somewhere between 12 and 14. And the flop texture is 10-7-4, double suited. So
classic
we got two
ace king flop,
you know, and they check it over to me.
Which heart do you have?
I don't have a heart. I don't
God
have a heart.
Damn it, Caitlin! Why'd you play it this way? Okay,
as I said, know. Classic ace king flop.
Yeah, and so I decided to bet, which you don't bet with that hand all the time, but I chose to, and I bet about third, which is probably like one of the larger sizings at that stack depth. We probably bet larger if we had more stack, but we didn't. So we bet about one third pot. And then our opponent makes it about 20 big blinds to go. So they go with the large raise sizing. Ooh. So at this point, it's going to be like the raise size is not completely covering me. It's not going to put me all in, but it's an effective all in. I'll only have two or three bigs behind. So okay.
Did you say how many of your remaining big blinds you put in for the third of the pot? What did you say? It was 14 blinds in the middle. So you bet like five.
Yeah, somewhere in the neighborhood, so 4.5 or
yeah,
five.
So, okay. Yeah. So basically you've got just over 20 bigs behind. So it's effectively mm-hmm. an all in or fold spot for you on the flop with no mm-hmm. heart in your hand on a 10-7-4 board with ace king high.
Hey, I'm so excited to finally get to drop this phrase on the podcast during hand of the century of the day. As played, for me, are we at the cliffhanger point right now?
Well, obviously, really, because we're kind of in the what played, would you do?
I think it's a fold as played. I think that we still have 20 big blinds. You know, we got a little cute with Ace King, and as James said, that 30 big blind stack's kind of awkward because you feel like an idiot if you pile it in pre-flop with Ace King offsuit, and 30 bigs is like maybe slightly too much to do that. So, you know, you try to win it pre with the three bet. I think that I probably, in hindsight, I don't think in the moment I would be smart enough to do this, but in hindsight, I might see bet a little bit less than a third of the pot. But as Caitlin mentioned, that's, you know, towards her bigger sizings. Doesn't mean she's going to bet that size all the time. But then I think once I get shoved on here, I'm not in a situation where I'm seeing five cards. I'm only seeing two cards. I don't really have any backdoors that I can think of. Like I said, you get to fold and you get to keep 20 big blinds. And then now it's easy to play after that with just 20.
Yeah, James? I mean, I'm not in a dissimilar situation. I know that there's a mindset that, oh, this could be an open-ended straight draw. This could be a flush draw, and maybe Ace King High is still ahead. But even then, if they've got hearts, if they've got two live cards, you've still got a ton of the deck to fade for Ace King High to hold. I appreciate your do or die sentiment, Caitlin, but being the huge nit that I am probably folding in this spot. What hands do you think your opponent might have here that you could be beating or in good shape against?
All the suited heart combos.
Right.
Of Broadway.
Right. There's a fair few.
Yeah, there are a fair few. But as I said, even I mean, I'm not thrilled to be getting in against
Queen Jack of Hearts. But this is PokerStars New Jersey. You gotta take that Jersey attitude in there a little bit. You know, these guys, I don't want to be pushed. Hey, wait, this is a great question. You play under your own name and with a lady's face too, right?
Yeah, I use my own face, which is a lady's face, last time I checked.
Okay, great.
And I have like a little like red spade next to my name that like is
people
the
might
authenticity
play differently
badge.
Yeah, and people might play differently against you too. That's something that you have to keep in mind, is that like your perceived image is going to affect how people play some of the time.
Again, but then I don't know if we have any information on our opponent here, because I know some people who just get very stubborn with that classic have top pair, will bet. And whereas many people would say with a hand like Queen 10, Jack 10, 10-9 here, it's just a check call, they may decide, well, I'm ahead right now, so I just want to shut the hand down. So there are some top pair combos that I would also be worried about if I don't know how solid my opponent is.
My read on the opponent was that he was solid. I think I had him marked as like, okay, you know, aggressive and sticky, sort of like, you know, a formidable opponent. And I definitely think that my player pool knows that I'm perfectly capable of three barrel blasting with all kinds of bullshit. So you can see me work this out in the Poker Org clip. And I also just felt very manhandled in that session. Like, I just felt like, and probably I was just running into a bunch of people that had it, but I don't know if other people get emotional when they play poker while they're being recorded. But you see me like walking it through that. I'm just like, I'm just sick of being manhandled and I'm going to take a stand here. And then let me know when you're ready for the cliffhanger to end.
No, I'm just like, because I'm just, my concern would be, even if I think about the hearts combos, hands like Queen Jack of Hearts, Jack Nine of Hearts have such decent equity against Ace King still that, again, this is why I would probably be tempted to fold. That's probably not the right way to look at it. And I am probably wrong.
Do you do you like being thin in those spots?
I like getting my money in when I am ahead. And
even if it's like
a couple
of points.
With a combo draw, you know, if like he has, like, if let's say he has 8-9 of hearts or something, and he's truly, you know, probably even slightly ahead in equity, with his 9 high or whatever, I don't know. I don't overcomplicate things. Like, I study poker a little bit and I do my best to get better, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm here to put on a show and I'm here to do or die. So come at your own risk.
Stream. I mean, it's boring for the stream if you fold. So I totally get calling.
I definitely do folds in different formations, but it's like when you're in those like short stacked spots, like the fact that I chose to see bet the hand, you know, like I think I should be checking back there a lot on that texture with my hand, and I chose not to. And the fact that I did leave myself open for the raise, you kind of like when you choose to do that low frequency aggressive action, you have to be willing to, you know,
Sure.
Fall on yeah. the sword a little bit.
I mean, look, it's one of those situations where, in my mind, and again, I'm probably wrong. If this player is just abusing the fact that we're close to the bubble, good luck to him. With 20 bigs still left, I can look for a better spot, he says in inverted commas. I know what happens if I get sticky and I make the call here. This is the one time he has pocket sevens and has flopped a set. But tell us how the hand played out, Caitlin.
I didn't just call and leave the little bit behind. I went ahead and shoved over the top and forced him to run it with me. He had ace queen of hearts and we got a clean run out.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
That's excellent.
And then I way over celebrated as though it was a final table moment, you know, just for the thrill of it.
You look, you got to savor the mini victory. That's something that I've always been, a fan of. I guess I was thinking, I was like, hey, I wonder if they ever do this with ace queen, not really considering that it could be ace queen of hearts. But wow, what a flop for them. And
yeah, just thinks I'm getting out of line c-betting on a board where I shouldn't have to, and that a certain amount of the time he's going to show up with like a bit of an air ball, like an ace queen no heart.
Yes. And you know, and from their perspective also, like, and you're like, well, if I do run into it here, like I'm still drawing to the nuts. So I totally understand that specific hand and that specific play.
Well, that's right. The moral of this story is I need to spend more time watching Poker Orcs content so that I could have swatted up in advance and could look like a genius and have basically put the guy on the
exact hand.
Caitlin,
I think you should go all in here, and I think you're probably up against ace queen of hearts. Am I right?
Yeah, I think his range is very, very narrow here. It's ace queen of hearts. Your equity is X percent, you know, but I could have looked like an absolute freaking genius.
No, I mean, I wish I had remembered a hand that was like slightly more interesting to talk about, but this was the one that I had memorized. And yeah, I probably played it bad on the flop, but also I won the hand and I doubled, and I'm pretty results oriented for
You trapped with that flop sizing.
And crucially, next time we'll restore the correct balance of the universe, and next time we'll get you to analyze something that we've butchered rather than something
you
play to perfection.
I won't even notice, probably, but I'll do my best.
Last but by no means least, we welcome this week's superfan to the show, Nicoletta Madden. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good, actually.
Hey. So you obviously remember meeting us in Prague.
I met one of you.
You met James at the steakhouse also.
I did not.
I have no recollection of this whatsoever.
Yeah, I did.
Don't you remember at the end of the meal, the steakhouse, when I stood up and I went over and I was like talking to Steve?
That's the point. You were there. But I did not meet James.
He was sitting
sort of behind you, so you kind of sheltered him.
I basically put my body in between you and him so that only I would be speaking to the one woman in the party and that no one else would have the chance to? Yeah, probably.
I'm saying you stole the show and you did it on purpose. I can tell.
Wow, there's a lot of home truths coming out on this week's show.
Hey, Nicole, you ever been to the Luxor? Anyway, did you have a good time in Prague? It seemed like you're having like a bunch of poker for your friends with like Pi and Richie Rob. You got a crew.
Oh, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, when I say poker players, I would say loosely only one of them actually played.
Okay, got it. Wow. Man, everybody's getting roasted here.
Okay, wait a minute. Two of them played.
Nicole, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you as a person? What do you do? How do you spend your days?
I'm not a very good poker player, and I prefer to spend my time drawing, which I do, I think, better than playing. But I go back into playing. So
is that one of your drawings behind you? Is that why you peeked over your shoulder when you said that?
Yeah, you see, I'm very self-centered as well, so I look at the stuff that are valuable to me when I'm talking about them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that looks like a cool drawing. Nicole, you've chosen the movie Halloween.
Yes, I would like to apologize to Patrick for choosing it because I know that he doesn't like horror films.
Patrick's feedback, by the way, was he enjoyed it. Felt it was a little bit cheesy, but he enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
This movie's an all-timer. I did not rewatch it, so you might have an advantage here. But like I said, I've seen this movie so many times in my life. I probably rewatch it every 2 to 3 years minimum. So, Caitlin, are you a Halloween fan?
I'm a Jamie Lee Curtis fan. So that's the one where she was like hot and
Laurie
young
Strode?
In, right?
Yeah. My goodness. Wait, I don't want to give away. I always do this where I show off about how much I know about the movie, and then it becomes a question that they ask the other person.
I know the lead character's name. That's not really it. It's
a Patrick quiz, so there will be easy questions and there will be impossible questions. And part of it is the luck of the draw. Part of it is the lucky dip. Now, Caitlin, you do have a role to play here. You have a double role, in fact. First of all, can you please keep score? And for the avoidance of doubt, it's 2 points if they can get the question right without taking the multiple choice options. 1 point if they need the options.
Caitlin's looking to see how many fingers she has right now. She's like,
I need a pen and a paper, like two at a time.
There won't be that many.
No, I can't handle it.
So the other role you get to play, Caitlin, as well as being scorekeeper, now you have the tools necessary to fulfill the task, is if... Oh, look at that. Wow, she's ready to go. You're also the lifeline. You're also, should Nicoletta need to phone a friend, she didn't need assistance on any of the questions, you are a one-time-only deal.
One-time-only, God.
It may well be that you don't need the help. You do get to go first, though, so you get to give me a number between 1 and 10.
I'm not taking any chances. I'll take 9.
Joe's lucky number 9. Okay. Which book did Laurie forget, causing her to turn around and catch Michael watching her?
Chemistry. Was
it? It is a chemistry book for 2 points.
Wow. I don't think I would have gotten that, especially not without the choices. I could be in big trouble here. I'm going to one up Nicole, as I am known to do with most people, and take number 10, please.
What word does Linda always say?
Okay, I'm just thinking out loud here. I want to say radical. Does she say radical? Nicole's giving me nothing. I'll take the choices.
Is it crazy? Is it totally? Is it mega? Or is it literally?
I think it's totally.
For 1 point. Congratulations. All right. Okay,
man,
so
mega almost got me. I almost got mega, but I'm probably thinking of MAGA, which is what I think most of the time.
9 and 10 have gone. Any other number?
2, please.
Number 2. In which U.S. state is the fictional town of Haddonfield?
Illinois?
It is Illinois for 2 points.
Wow, nice.
Joseph.
Question. I'll take 7, thank you.
How did Michael escape the hospital at the start of the film?
Well... There's like a rainstorm, and then he uses a car to escape, and then
what does he do with the car?
What does he do with the car?
How does he come by this car?
I'm
looking for a very specific thing that happens with the car.
He steals a car.
Yeah. Okay. In that case, you're getting the 2 points. You're still 1 point ahead of him. So. You can have, because he had to take the options with the first question. What do you got? 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 8?
4, please.
What does Laurie give to Tommy, the child she's babysitting, to help him if he's in danger?
The whistle. Like
the 2 points.
Joe. I thought she gave him a shotgun. Okay.
1, 3, 5, 6, or 8?
Well, this is America.
6.
What object does Laurie use to stab Michael in the neck? Spoilers!
Unfortunately, this one I do know right away. It's a coat hanger. Or a clothes hanger.
It's not.
Oh, no.
It's a knitting needle.
Oh, it's a knitting needle!
So, yeah, no points there for Joe.
I got cocky there.
5 or 8.
I got cocky, and I think it's going to cost me.
I'll take 8, please. because she stopped him twice.
What was Judith doing right before Michael killed her?
Brushing her hair.
Naked. For 2 points. Joe, your penultimate question.
We didn't need you to say the naked part, okay?
No, we just did. We needed that. No criticism, no feedback. We needed that.
No extra points, but I'll always take extra detail. 1, 3, or 5, Joe, for your penultimate question.
Let's go number one, please.
What does Dr. Sam Loomis say after discovering Judith Meyer's headstone is missing?
Oh, it's such a good scene. What does he say after this? It's something like, evil is here. Give me the choices, please.
Does he say, Halloween?
No.
Call the sheriff.
Maybe.
Red alert?
No.
He came home.
He came home.
For 1 point.
Close, right? Didn't I say evil? Oh, okay, I said evil is here. Okay, go on.
Okay. We're going into the final round. It may be not necessary. Caitlin, can you recap the scores at this stage, please?
Nicola, 8 points. Joe, 4 points.
Ugh. Yeah. So this is a shellacking. But let's see if you can go for maximum points. 3 or 5? 5 or 3?
5, please.
What is the name of the actor who plays The Shape, masked Michael Myers?
Ooh.
Masked. There are two actors playing him. Was it Tony Moran?
It was not. It was Nick Castle.
Fortunately
for you, it's not going to make any difference to the outcome. But Joe, just out of interest, do you know how old Michael was when he killed his sister?
Yeah, he was super young.
That's not the answer I'm looking for.
Hold
it's a numerical answer.
Hold on a second. He was 6 years old.
Oh, that would have got you 2 points, but it doesn't get you a win. Instead, it's Nicoletta who we're celebrating right now for crushing this game, for winning the bronze power pass, winning the poker in the Is merch. Congratulations. You may
be a
terrible poker player, but you get to play with a $109 ticket.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations,
Nicole. I'll have to waste it within 5 minutes.
You're free rolling. You came from nothing. You're going back to nothing. What do you lost? Nothing.
And if you win something, make sure you let us know, because we would love to big you up on the show if you do.
No, I'll keep it secret.
And thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
All right, my babies, that's just about all the time we've got for this week's show. Thank you, Caitlin. It's a podcast. Can you say something?
Oh, hi. Yeah, you're welcome.
Man.
I love the fact that blowing air kisses does not translate in an audio show.
Well, y'all made me put on makeup and turn my camera on, so I thought at some point maybe someone would watch my blow my kisses.
Don't worry, there'll be short clips all over the socials.
That one specifically, I think, is going to make it. Out there in podcast land, do y'all want more Caitlin? Let us know. But only if you do. If you don't, say nothing. We don't need to hear you not say something nice about Caitlin. So only get in touch with us if you want to hear more Caitlin on this show.
Do people say bad stuff about people online?
You know what?
Heard rumors, but I can't
Caitlin
confirm.
Put out such a funny, fun, perfect video, and there was still someone that managed to say something rude about it because she was paid to do it. And I got very offended, and I had to do one of those things where I wrote out a response and then screenshot it to Caitlin, and I was like, stop me from sending this. And she was like, yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. So I didn't send it, but...
I mean,
it's just sort of weird to like yell at your favorite content creators for like booking work
for paying
like,
their rent.
What did you think I was trying to do? What do you think the end game here was? Just
it's
like your goodwill in perpetuity.
Stop doing your job.
I do it for the likes. Likes pay my rent. No, they fucking don't. Okay. Thank you, Caitlin. Hopefully we get to hear more from Caitlin in the future. Coming up next time, we are creeping up on finally having live poker back for us in Europe. The first event of the new PokerStars Open is kicking off in Campione in just a few weeks.
Less than a month.
Time to That's right. That's a few weeks. Time to finally lock in and get focused and see what the European regs think of the Poker Stars Open and the aforementioned league.
Yeah, so we'll go into more detail about it next week.
So we'll be speaking to one of the most discerning eyes in the poker industry, David Lappin. We're going to actually ask him for his honest, maybe not that honest, but his opinion on what he thinks of the league. Once again, positive feedback only. We don't want to hear about it if you don't like it. And also, we're going to be having one of the reggiest Euro regs in here for these sorts of events. David Doherty is going to be here. We're going to have a little David versus David. There's got to be something there. I can make that into a game.
And I'm guessing we can have the Davids stay with us for Hand of the Century of the Day. While I'm in London, there's a chance that I play some online poker on PokerStars, so I might have an online hand for the Davids to dig into next week. Oh, should also highlight that Cedric Bilot, the Associate Director of Live Events for PokerStars, is also going to be here. So not only are we going to get his overview of the PokerStars Open and the league, but we also need to ask what the kind of thinking behind this is. Not just the promotion, but the Opens themselves, and why they're replacing all the local tours coming into 2025.
And are we going to get a translator on for Cedric also?
That's harsh. That's not nice. That's unkind.
Hey, you guys all make fun of him to his face and call him Le Cedric.
I call him Le Cedric to his face. It's a good name for him. It's like Le Chief for only Le Cedric.
And I just do an accent joke. All right, you know what? Never mind. I'm just making everyone angry. I think because I'm a deeply, deeply unhappy person is probably what's going on here. Okay, so Caitlin, thank you very much. Get in touch with us on Discord.
Can I just double check? Are you still going to be at the Luxor next week?
I can't promise I won't be at the Luxor next week.
He'll graduate to Circus at some point, surely.
No. Yeah, exactly. When I get kicked out of here, when I run out of all my $40 markers I've been signing off here at the Luxor, I might end up at Circus. No, I will be at Hamul. I'll be at the Run Good event in Hamul in San Diego. So someone else is paying for it. So I'll be at a nice Airbnb. I'm sharing with like Jamie Kerstetter and a bunch of other people. So Caitlin, are you going to that?
I'm not going to Hamul. I'm going to Tunica, Mississippi.
Oh, right. That's how big Run Good's getting, is that they have competing events now. Anyway, that is all the time we have got for this week's show. Until next time, for Caitlin Kameski and James Hardigan, I am Joe Stapleton. Smell you later.